Simplicity of Spiritual Treatment. You are the second person today to ask what a metaphysical treatment is. Do you not think it asking a good deal to have one give away the secrets of his trade? I will tell you a story instead, one of the first incidents I heard when starting to investigate this subject. An important businessman had a full crop of troubles. Deciding to call on a metaphysical healer, he was surprised and disappointed on entering her office, for there was a striking dearth of intelligence and dignity in the place, so he thought. But he was a good sport and quickly concluded, "I have come here to be put on my feet. I will see the thing through. Maybe Providence has had a hand in the matter." He began to unravel his troubles. At the end of the first one, the practitioner promptly exclaimed, "Yes, honey, but it ain't so." He unraveled another and another, only to hear the same ejaculation, "Yes, honey, but it ain't so." He terminated the interview. He could not take any more of it. He went out supposing that the experience was over, but it was not. A week or so afterward, he discovered that one of the troubles had disappeared. After a while, another went, the same unannounced way. He then admitted that this good woman, simple and unlettered as she was, knew what she was talking about, and possessed the ability to put that something across to him, and that in him the something had borne fruit after its kind. There are people in distress who have like experiences in reading from a printed page, or from hearing a talk from the platform, or from receiving a silent pronouncement of truth from one who understands what he is saying or thinking. The healing comes about because the sufferer is receptive to the truth thus liberated. Accepting it, he necessarily sees the situation as the speaker or writer or practitioner sees it, with the result that the deception or illusion departs and he is recovered of his difficulty. You feel courageous in the presence of a redoubtable man. You feel vigorous in the presence of a stalwart man. This is why everyone should go through the daily round radiating such courage and faith and heartiness as he can muster. Others are stirred and uplifted by his mood, his example. They feel as though they had reached out and tapped the brimming wellspring of life. Health and heaven itself are just that close. Naturally, you want to know what causes disease. Everybody does. But no one has the answer. Here is a spacious realm wherein the greatest can do no better than guess. We will concede that some guesses may be better than others, but no guess possesses finality, and the most learned of the guessers are free to so confess. But you and I have something better, and I believe everyone else has something better than a knowledge of the cause of disease. We have a conviction that when we get smart enough, we shall find a world and find a self that know nothing about the infernal thing. Reason tells us that it can have no genuine existence, for if it had, this earth would long since have become a barren waste with no living thing as big as a blade of grass. Here is the starting place of recovery or immunity. Disease has no genuineness. and there inheres in every one of us the potential ability not only to denounce the thing as unreal and iniquitous, but to see through its deceptive devices. This is the meaning of the promise that man has dominion. As one acknowledges that the Almighty is his intelligence, individual ability expands and improves. As one acknowledges that the Almighty is his life, individual existence harmonizes and lengthens. As one acknowledges that the Almighty is his supply, the reputedly meager earth responds with such things as are necessary day by day. As one realizes that the Almighty is principle, he brings to his support the benign forces that hold the stars in place. Thus is the Word made flesh. Thus is divine law made to operate in human affairs, making the requisite adjustments. Thus are the limitless potentialities of men and women set loose. Everyone has the mind that knows, the soul that feels the finer impulses, spirit continuous and ever-present, principle which sustains and governs all, truth manifested in trueness and perfection, life expressed in beauty, vitality, permanence, love which shows forth in sympathy and compassion. Each of the seven terms capitalized above embraces the nature of all. In other words, each includes the others. They combine as one, for deity, in a certain sense, is compound. That one, expressed or manifested, is man. Hence the properties of the eternal are focused in man, or if you have the courage to confess it, are focused in you. This is why you are called a man, next to God, the loftiest of words. You cannot use any adjective that will add anything to him. You cannot use any adjective that will embellish man. How about woman? Man, you know, is the generic term for both him and her. But of the two species, she conceitedly occupies the higher bracket.